From time to time, I make a little bit of time to watch a hockey game. And I was watching last night. Chris, where are you? Were you watching your Oilers play last night, Chris? Did you get to watch that game? Sorry, focus on the sermon. All right, okay. I was born in Toronto. It's a good night. Once a year, I'm allowed to enjoy it. Anyway, there's these commercials that come on in the middle of hockey games. I haven't seen one for a while. I usually just mute. But there's this a credit card commercial, what's in your wallet? And the idea is, I can't even remember which card it is, but that if you have this credit card, you know, you have this well that out of which you can buy what you need. So what's in your wallet? Jesus is asking us what is in the wallet of our heart. Is it a heart full of love out of which you are able to bring forgiveness and generosity? Or is your heart not quite there? Do not judge. Do not condemn. Forgive and give. These are habits commanded by Jesus to our church family. They are meant to be a protection for us, but also habits that if we practice them and work at them, will change our hearts. We cannot take lightly these words from Jesus. Do not judge. Sometimes we think we see or someone else's shortcomings, their failures, or maybe even outright sin. Maybe in someone here in this congregation. But managing other people's hearts requires abilities that only God the Holy Spirit has. It is so hard for us as human beings to truly know all that is going on in someone else's life, all that is affecting their choices and their behavior. Maybe we have seen someone who has been rude here Sunday. Maybe we see someone who never seems to help. But if they are a private person, you just could not know all that is going on. And there are people who spend every day managing terrible pain, and just showing up on Sunday takes significant willpower. We ought to be so careful. We don't know how far someone has come in their own growth. You might find something to be obviously objectionable, but how far have they come already? Where were they? What was their home like growing up? And nor do we ever know the whole story when we watch one piece. What appears to be wrong to us might just be our own misunderstanding. These are all traits of being human, and good reasons to be gracious, to fail on the side of encouragement and support, to make that our rule in our treatment of others. And then in prayer to trust the Holy Spirit to convict other people about the right thing at the right time, knowing that God sees the whole picture and always approaches every person out of love. In the rest of the New Testament, there is scant support for confronting someone, but there are plenty of warnings against the urge. Repeatedly in the book of James, the letter of James, this comes up. Do not judge. Jesus outlined one exception. It only appears in the Gospel according to Matthew, and that is when someone has hurt you. When there is something between you and another person where they have done something to you, and then Jesus commands discretion. This is not the opportunity to tell everybody about it. In fact, you are to go directly to that person if it is still bothering you and speak to them directly. And the goal there is reconciliation, not to try and make them feel the same hurt that you felt. The goal is to be one. In the last 20 years, in my experience in this congregation, there has been little to no gossip. And I think we'd like to keep it that way. If there is something that you are concerned about in the behavior of someone else, in a way that you think might land them in serious trouble, and you feel that you are not the person to ask them questions and pray with them, go to one of our pastors. Not because your pastors have it all figured out, but sometimes, given our role, we do have more of a context for what is going on in their life. May I never hear again that someone in this congregation has shared with someone outside of this congregation their condemnation and judgment of a fellow church member because they thought the other person was living in sin. Or in Jesus' words, you have a log in your own eye. Our own troubles are enough to keep us busy. The religious leaders of the day and Jesus were at odds. Many religious people, then and now, rightly long for purity in their lives, in the lives of their friends and family, in the lives of their city and nation. They long for purity, for things to be done right. But in the end, this often ends up in condemnation, in public condemnation for others, in driving others away, in dividing communities, in lowering some and lifting up others. The Pharisees and others acted as though God's mercy is limited and contingent. And they were offended by the way Jesus was walking around and just giving it away. The widow, before this story, Jesus comes across a widow mourning the loss of her son. And she didn't ask for anything. She didn't even speak. But Jesus freely raised her son from the dead and restored him to her. Jesus is traveling around. There's no temple with him. There's no priest. There's no sacrifice. But freely he is forgiving people. In the Old Testament, sin is clearly uncleanness, and therefore it is contagious. And so the leaders of the day don't enter the homes of people who are either Gentiles or sinners. They definitely would not eat with them. But Jesus sat with them in their own homes, surrounded by their friends, and dipped his hand into the same bowl of food that these other people were eating from. God is abundant in mercy and in love. In our own hearts, the more we come to know God's mercy and love, the more we meditate on Jesus, the love of God that Jesus was showing, the more we experience it ourselves, the more we realize just how much we have been forgiven and just how much God loves us. The more we let that really sink in, the more awkward I feel judging anyone else. But if all that is in our hearts is a sense that maybe God is displeased with us, a fear that God is not happy with how we have lived or the choices that we have made, that somehow we have lost our way, that we haven't lived well enough, we've fallen out of his path, if all we do inwardly and quietly is judge ourselves, repeat harsh words against ourselves, repeat critical words about ourselves, our list of shortcomings, if that is what's happening in our hearts, inevitably that is what is going to come out in how you treat others. It is impossible to have that sort of a dialogue in your heart and then to treat others graciously. We will fall into judging others and maybe even publicly tearing them down. This is why it is so important for each of us to get to know Jesus through the Gospels and in prayer daily. We need to be taught by him just what it means to love and to be loved. Our hearts need to be changed. We need to let Jesus soften them so that we can love others more as we are loved. We need to hear, "You are forgiven." We need to know God loves you and knows you by name. Does this mean that right and wrong don't matter? Of course they matter. Sin is a deadly, serious problem for us. Evil is trying to destroy us and our world. It leads to death. But Jesus teaches us where to look for this evil. It is in our own hearts. Jesus says, it's like a log in your eye. Now, sometimes we've had this experience with a friend or a spouse, or say, you've got a bit of chocolate here, you know, you've dropped mustard. Does a person with a log in their eye need to be told, you know, I think you've got a log there? You know, if I get an eyelash in my eye, it feels like someone has lit it on fire. I can't imagine a whole log in there stuck. A log in the eye is not meant to be something you can just live with and put up with. It is not meant to be something that you can't notice. Jesus' point is that if you are willing, the sin in your life is there. The Holy Spirit can draw your attention to it so that you will deal with it. But how often is our own sin something we want to hold on to? But at the same time, we need to realize that God isn't after us. He's not trying to trip us up. These are not being presented as even yet more rules that if we don't follow, he will be angry with us. Rather, God is trying to make us into his children, to have good fruit in our lives. In this teaching of Jesus, God is trying to save us, to help us avoid falling in ditches, to help us know where we are going. Sin is a problem. Jesus is explicit. We cannot call him Savior unless we are willing to call him Lord. He says, "Why do you say, 'Lord, Lord,' and yet you don't do what I tell you to do?" And what is his objective in our obedience, in asking for our obedience? It is to save us from great ruin. Jesus wants us to build our lives on his teaching, to be obedient, to renounce sin, so that our lives might be saved from ruin. But this doesn't mean we will be spared disaster. In that little parable that Jesus tells at the end of his teaching, the obedient person built his life upon the rock of Jesus' teaching, but the floods still came. It still surrounded that house. There was destruction everywhere into the life of an obedient person. And this has been our experience. Tragedy, hardship, misfortune, all of these come into our lives, into the lives of others that we are more comfortable saying, faithful Christians. We see it comes into their lives, people that have lived well and given their lives to follow Jesus and to serve others, and yet terrible misfortune has come around them. When everything is going wrong, when the floods are surrounding us, this doesn't mean that God is angry with you or that you've somehow meandered or wandered out of God's will and that if you just got back into it, everything would work out. No, obedience to Jesus does not spare us from misfortune, but it can help us stand firm in the midst of disaster. With this difficult teaching, Jesus is not trying to trip us up. In the words of John's Gospel, Jesus did not come to judge the world, but to save it. Jesus is providing this teacher so that we might become like our teacher. May we know the love of God that is behind all of this good teaching. May we know the forgiveness of God for us. And may we, in response, not judge, forgive, and give generously. May we love others as we have been loved. Amen.